coming your way live from a top secret location in Redondo Beach. You're listening to Aspel on the Esplanade on CHSR, HealthyLife.net Radio.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel. Aspel on the Esplanade, and I'm sitting here in this fine, beautiful day with South Bay J. Cruz.
I haven't been out yet, is it?
It's beautiful. It's not windy. It's not cloudy. It's just beautiful. We had like three of those days this year.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's funny. The consult your own financial. I just never listen to that part. Your own therapist, financial consultant, don't listen to a word I say is what they're saying.
Pretty much. We don't object, endorse, or care. Something like that.
It's funny. I noticed that the other day I went to the Healthy Life Archives.
Right.
I contacted you, the new website you have.
Uh-huh.
So I went back. You have silly figures and numbers, but no names. It's like show number 25, whatever. So I found that one, the first one I did, January 8th, I believe.
Yeah.
Of 2015.
Which I'll burn a copy of for you.
Yeah, well, I have it not, but I don't have a burned copy.
Yeah,
I
think
a Feed the Kitty when I first met him.
Yeah.
And being the, you know, I guess I might be an egomaniac. I don't know why, but I noticed my voice has changed.
No. Oh.
It was really deep and nice back then. So I'm all froggy and like I smoke a million packs of cigarettes or something. Come back. My wife didn't even recognize the voice.
Interesting.
Because you don't sound the same as you did 10 years ago, that's
wow.
for sure. So thank God I'm not a singer or something like that.
Right. Know? That's a lot to do with
I'll
that.
I'll blame it on the microphone. I've been told I don't sit that close enough to the microphone. I don't know. That's my starting opening
well,
salvo.
There's a fine line between too close and too far away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm about 2 inches away, yeah. and I just have a loud enough voice that it goes right. through. If I get up too close, it's like a little too much.
Too close.
If I get back far, too yeah. far, you know, can't hear me. So yeah, right about yeah. here, well, for me, is where it works.
My sister is a religious listener.
Yeah.
Not about religion, just about me. Anyway, she goes, Jay sounds great because you have that voice, and he says, you can be anywhere. Your voice, because you drift away, so maybe I back up.
Let's just stand on top of the microphone.
I'm not making love to this thing, so don't worry about
yeah.
it. It's okay. Damn. And no one really cares. Anyway, so I'm bitter. I didn't go home last week. And I just blame it now on the grandkids.
Yeah, that's a good excuse.
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. I think last Tuesday we had three.
Yeah.
Katie and Brett's kids. And one of them just turned 4 weeks old today.
Oh, wow.
So that was a three-week-old baby. I didn't want to hold it.
Uh-huh.
I sat down in my chair, in an easy chair. They put it in my lap. It. Son. My grandson. Named Owen. And it's Owen Patrick Geraghty.
That sounds like a fine
Irish name. Yeah, Aspel's not really an Irish name. But so it's good they have girls.
Yeah.
They couldn't, you know, my daughters got married. They dumped that last name in 30 seconds.
That's what you said, nanoseconds.
They were down to the get a new driver's license before they went their honeymoon.
Wow.
I know, it's a pain in the ass name. Aspel. Yeah, it's a lot of work. So, I forgot. So I changed the subject again. But, yeah, I missed it. And they're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a birthday party this Saturday for McKenna and Marie Mastriona.
So she's turning one.
She's turning two.
Two, okay.
And I can say this without getting in trouble. She's far more advanced with the speech than my other one is, mm-hmm. Who's 6 months or 5 months older.
Okay.
And I don't know what the reason is. I'm not just being a proud grandpa. They're both great kids. This one... Kenna, you can have a conversation with her. She went, her dad took her to the aquarium of the Pacific yesterday in Long Beach.
Yeah.
And I asked her, what'd you like the best? And she said, the manta rays and the octopus.
Those are some big words.
The manta rays and the octopus. Last week she said, that's the Mississippi River, without going Mississippi, Mississippi River. So. Yeah, I said she should probably bypass, just go straight to kindergarten from Mogul Preschool.
She could be in radio pretty soon.
She, well, I don't know what her voice is like, but she talks a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, she could be.
Well, you know, I've noticed that, you know, parents that actually speak normal, you know, conversation, have a conversation with their kids, those kids pick up language a lot faster and are a lot better.
Yeah.
you know, if you're having, you know, hey, what do you, like you're talking to a puppy or, you know, just always baby talk.
Oh, they talk baby talk like puppy. You're sorry, like talk to a puppy. You're right.
You know, horrible. Yeah, that's how we, you know, because dogs aren't going to end up speaking. You know?
I don't know, tell my dog that. Yeah, she's a pain in the ass. Yeah, we treat them, I talk regular. But my kids said, you know, I go, they get this podcast, not podcast, the Netflix and all these different cable things on your smart TV.
Uh-huh.
And they all these kid programs. And I guess these people are well off to put this on. They're like the gal, Miss Rachel.
Right.
They sing all these songs. And Mr. Blippi.
Mr. Blippi.
Mr. Blippi. He crosses, I don't think he's a Trump guy. He crosses the spectrum of like five different things.
Yeah.
But the kids love him. And we used to watch Johnny Quest where he blew people up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, or Yosemite Sam where he shot people.
Yep.
And the Wile E. Coyote got squished. Now there's no violence.
Yeah.
And there's no sex. It's all really weird.
Mm-hmm.
But they learn to talk on this TV. They're all teaching them all the phonics and everything. So.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Phonics are very important. I remember learning those. They helped me get there. You know, when I was very young, I had a bit of I was tongue-tied. So I had a little speech impediment about the time I was 7 or 8, mm-hmm. you know, when your adult teeth come in. Basically, the tip of my tongue, if you look between your, like, ring finger and your pinky finger and you see that web of skin.
Okay, I thought it was a frog.
Yeah, that was basically what was on the tip of my tongue and the bottom of my tongue. There's a piece of that web, and it shouldn't be on the tip of your tongue. It's underneath the tongue. And what happened is mine was overgrown. And it was on the tip of the tongue where I was tongue-tied, you know, literally. So I couldn't stick my tongue out, which was, you know, as a kid, that's kind of a bummer. But what started happening is when my adult teeth were coming in, they weren't coming in. They were, like, barely coming in, and my tongue was pushing up against them and disallowing them to grow naturally. Right. So I had to get this operation. I had to do it twice. The first time, they didn't do it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
That started a mistrust of doctors from an early age. And anyway, so I had to relearn how to do all this stuff. And, you know, I'm glad it happened because I would have had a bad speech impediment, would have talked with a lisp. Certainly wouldn't be here doing radio.
No, well, you could have. Nowadays, nobody's judging you as much.
Right. Or could. Yeah, who knows? I might have overcome it, but I'm glad that my parents made the decision to step in, and I'm sure it wasn't free.
You know, the lisp, you want to change teams. You never know.
Yeah, it could have been an interesting upbringing.
I think I mentioned maybe years ago that when I mentioned to you, I believe, that when I worked at Safeway,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't work at the check stand at first. So I got so nervous, I'd stutter.
Okay.
And I still get caught up sometimes tongue-tied. I call it tongue-tied, but stutter.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but I was too, believe it, I was shy. I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get out there, I go dip, and finally figured that out. That's why I took speech classes at Santa Monica College, because okay. I couldn't speak in front of people. I just shit myself first.
And it's the biggest fear, you know, that in high places.
Yeah.
And maybe the IRS.
Ex-wives.
Yeah, know. I mean, but, you know, high places and public speaking are universally the gold and silver bronze medal of everyone's biggest fear.
I think my biggest fear is claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Not anymore as much, but I remember I was scuba diving in caves in Hawaii, and I was following this dive master. I never go alone or with this friend. I always pay somebody to show me.
Yeah.
I want a guided tour, so I know.
Yeah, exactly.
You take the guided tour, and you end up, there's the anchor, the boat. You just not paying attention, but you follow the guy or the girl. But he took me through this cavern or tubes in there, out there, and it's not very big. And I was a lot bigger than that dive master.
Yeah.
And he goes out, and I go out through him. I have to crawl pretty much. I'm seeing the light. It's not going in deeper in some hole.
Mm-hmm.
And out of nowhere pops a monster sea turtle.
Okay.
Hawaiian sea turtle. And he wants to go my way.
Yeah.
I had to pop him on the nose to back him up and push him. And I think I went through half a bottle of air. I was freaking out. I'm going to be stuck down here.
Uh-huh.
I didn't dig it. No, I even told Pam, you can burn me, but don't put me in a casket. Yeah. When do I wake up? So I've had multiple MRIs. Have you ever had an MRI?
Oh, yeah.
That's like death.
I know.
So they make so much noise, too. Yeah, I guess if I had...
It's not like they're going to give you a shot of vodka at the hospital.
I took them before.
Yeah, that's good thinking.
Yeah, they tell you if you have a problem, take a Valium or something.
Sedative, yeah.
But I told the guys one time about a year ago. I said, if you have your lower back done, it's not quite as frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Your neck, you're right there. It makes a noise right in your ears.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
So I told the guy. He goes, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, I had a couple shots."
Yeah.
When I go, like 25 seconds ago out in your lobby.
Parking
lot? Yeah. I brought it in. Didn't want to get one in the car. That's
right.
But anyway, so what else has happened? We had an election since I've been gone.
Yeah, it happened.
It happened. I know we got a... Jesus, it's amazing. Used, reused, and he'll be reinducted, recalcitrant. I don't know what is he...
It's interesting. When you look at the history of presidents, there was Grover Cleveland,
right,
who was like the 22nd and then 24th.
Mm-hmm.
I never looked into why he didn't have consecutive terms, but, you know, something was up.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, but that's 20-some-odd presidents ago. Just very weird to have that gap.
They didn't have social media back then.
They didn't. And if they did, there's a few guys that would have been vilified like our current president-elect.
It's amazing. Well, doesn't matter who got vilified. Kamala. Is it Kamala or Kamala?
I always called her Kamala.
Maybe that's why she didn't win. We can't pronounce her name.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the Donald. But her supporters vilified Trump,
mm-hmm,
and his supporters vilified her.
Exactly.
If you look at these, especially if you go on social media,
mm-hmm,
if you're not on social media, don't start.
Yeah, just...
It sucks. It's like
don't
drug.
Go it's, there. It, yeah, don't do drugs.
It's heroin.
Don't do social media.
Go do heroin. Drop some acid. Stay the F off of Facebook.
They actually have rehab if you get addicted.
Yeah.
You have a decent, turnaround rate. Failures. But social media, I don't know what... That one is... These phones, they're in our hands. And I swear, anytime there's a red light, everybody's looking at their phone.
Oh, yeah.
When that light turns green, it takes like 20 minutes for the thing to...
Well, if you take like 3 seconds, I give you toot, toot.
Yeah, yeah.
You take it 30 seconds, you're getting my full fist full of
horn. It might be kicking in your back door.
No, hold the horn down.
Yeah.
No, I'll never get out of a car. I'll never be one of those guys. Because you watch social media on Instagram.
Yeah, I'll end up on Facebook.
All those reels.
Yeah, I'll be right there.
But it's... I don't think most males could take a dump if you don't have social media.
I know. It's the first thing.
Well, you do. My wife goes, you got your phone. You go to the bathroom. Well, you're going to be there for a while. And sometimes you forget because you're just watching. But it's the... I remember when I was running for re-election, it wasn't
right,
a big deal in my first elections. Re-election, social media, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Not amazing in a good way.
No.
Now, some of these guys we dug into their history and know that what they did.
Not exactly saints themselves.
No, they were doing bad stuff to me and my wife and my family.
Right.
And they finally got caught.
Yeah.
Too late.
Mm-hmm.
But this election was... It's horrible on both sides.
It was.
Now people lost friends.
I know.
To this day, well, I can tell you now, I'm not a Trump guy.
Right.
I think I tried to say that before, but I'm not going to tell my friends who I'm voting for. Everybody asked me. I said, I don't know.
I have done a good job of keeping that to myself.
Yeah.
I'm not a Trump guy either, but, I've kept my alliances to myself, and I think that's a right that we're always allowed to vote behind a curtain.
Not even
vote in privacy.
You gotta let it go. You gotta let it out in the public.
Yeah.
Everybody's gotta know, and then they could kill you. And then usually, it's like, if the ABC team wins a Super Bowl.
Right.
The next day, they're going, congratulations, everybody. Have a nice life.
Yeah.
Now, the Trump people, we won. We kicked your ass.
Yeah.
And bum, 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 bum. I'm not gonna go that far.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, the Kamala people are doing the same thing. The world's coming to an end.
Yeah.
And I still want... And I don't trust any of these people. I still want somebody to move.
Right.
Robert De Niro, get the hell out of here. What's her name? My Goldie.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi.
Yeah.
So I was close. See, that was a slip.
I knew who you were talking about.
Yeah, so.
Because she said that like 3 elections ago.
Yeah, moving. They never move.
Yeah.
It's just the, but it's, it was really, I was actually not shocked. Not shocked.
Right.
I can't believe there's that many people in this country that would vote for that person.
Well, you know what did surprise me when I was watching some of the returns on election night, which I was happy that, when I tuned in at like 5 o'clock, mm-hmm, our time, they didn't have the winner projected already. I remember when I was very young, my dad took me with him to the poll, and he voted for Nixon, 72. And I'm like, Dad, why are we even bothering? And the TV says he's got like 90% in the bag. Like, just stay home. He's right. Like, nope, I'm going to show you, you know, democratic process, voting.
Still got to vote, man.
Got to do it, you know. And then, and that was a good lesson, you know. But I felt almost, it was almost going that way when I turned on the TV. It was like 107 to 24, and, you know, it seemed like like the Globetrotters and the Washington Generals or something.
When I lost the reelection mayor, and then they started putting, there's five districts in Redondo, they started putting them up way far apart.
I mean,
this one was, in the half hour later, another one would come in.
Yeah.
And the first one came in, and went, ooh.
Yeah.
You start, when you get, you're not, unless you're an idiot, you just realize, oh, I'm going to lose this one, because they're all going to be the same.
Right.
I mean, like the presidential, the other elections here, we actually mailed our ballot in.
Yeah.
And we didn't mail it in until, like, Saturday before.
I dropped mine off at the North Redondo Library on Monday.
Okay, we dropped ours on a regular box,
okay.
not the fancy box. And I know that by the time when they were calling the elections, mine was still in a box somewhere.
Right, right.
But that's okay. If there was a miracle on anybody's part, and if someone came up with 20 million votes or whatever it is, then it'd be different. But it was just really weird. The rest of the world's kind of laughing at us. But but the people that love Trump, they love Trump.
They do.
And and all these people love him. They're all good friends of mine.
I know.
And a couple kids. I mean, here's what happened to Kamala. The young people didn't vote for her.
Right.
I never was good at math here. Here's what I told somebody, not typed out on social media, but my thought process came to the conclusion that, if that makes any sense, there's 100%. So you got, like, let's say there's 30% Republicans. They're going to vote for Republicans no matter what.
Right.
Even if he grabs them by the crotch.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's 30% Democrats are going to vote no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some dastardly little prick Democrat people, too.
That's for sure.
So then you got 20% that they just didn't care.
Yeah.
And the 20%, that said, well, I'm just not going to vote for her because, but they don't like Social Security or something, whatever she's promoting. But my point is there's about 20% of the people, 30% of the people in the United States that voted for her because wouldn't vote for her because of one reason.
Yeah.
She's black, Indian. She's not white.
Right.
And another 20%, and now I got up to 150%, but there's a bunch of people in the...
No, you're good. You're at 100.
Okay, well, you notice in the middle of the country, all the rural states voted for Trump.
A little blue on the coast and red down the middle.
And they were so, they're working people. Nice U.S. citizens and raise kids, go to church, you know, drink too much and all that stuff. They're nice people. But they were convinced that everybody from Mexico is going to steal their job.
Right.
And I think people voted, the quiet middle class working people.
Yeah.
Voted for Trump because he promised them that he'd kick all the Mexicans out.
Ironically, and I was watching one of the networks on election night, might have been NBC, they're talking about how the returns were showing a huge Hispanic, blue collar, working class Hispanics were...
Even the ones that came here illegally.
Huge voting for him. And they, you know, and the analysts were even kind of confused going, you know, he's saying he's going to start mass deportation, yet...
They're not pissed off because they're not going to. They don't lose their
jobs.
They're
here legally. They're working class people who have become Mexican Americans and you know are part of the country. And that was
we say Mexico, but it's anything south of the border. It could be any country,
right.
or the people come in from Africa through Mexico.
Well, that's an American thing. I mean, we're not exactly we don't really have a good record on knowing which Asian country we're talking to.
There's more
than Japanese and Chinese there.
And they hate each other too.
Yeah.
So you know that. But it's it's just people until they get over all this ingrained racism, people aren't going to vote. There's a lot of people in this country that won't vote for a person of color.
Yeah.
Which I hate that phrase.
Yeah.
That's another phrase overused now.
Yep.
Like I think of the sports ones. Physicality.
Physicality.
But
he's got athleticism.
Yeah.
An athletic quarterback.
That means he's black.
Yeah, that's
what they do. There's a Facebook again. A guy bitching about something in Torrance, and the guy was whining. And somebody got back to him, said something silly, and he goes, "By the way, you can't say that. What did he just say?
You played the race card.
Yes, but I'm not of that color. I forget the phrase. I forgot.
Well, this,
I'm a person of color. Yeah, that's right.
BIPOC, Black Indigenous People of Color.
I didn't know what he was. I didn't care. Yeah. But I don't know the person. So I went by, checked his face out.
Right.
I clicked on it. He was whiter than I am. But people, they can hide behind screens. They forget you can check them out, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, the election wasn't rigged. These Republicans think it's rigged. And you can't keep a lie like that.
And
no matter what they're thinking, too many people would have to lie.
Right.
And you can't keep a lie undercover like that long with that many people being aware. Because the secret's only good if you can tell one person.
Yeah.
But yeah. The fact that they're not going to vote for a person of color and they're worried about losing their jobs, that's going to keep people from freely voting, I believe.
You know, there's a lot of pushback on the wokeness that the Democrats seem to be mired in quite a bit. You know, on the right, with the Republicans, there's the extremism, like let's deport people, let's make America Caucasian again.
Yeah.
That's, what that basically means.
It does, yeah.
And so there was a lot of that. Like you said, there's just a lot of, and I know that's true. Whether people say one thing or another thing, what they do behind the closed curtain, it might be another thing. Also, there were some people who I think were trying to defend Harris in the sense saying, well, she only had 3 months to campaign. And go, well, she did raise $1 billion. That was a pretty good, she did good at fundraising. But this 3 months compared to 3 years, she has been vice president for nearly 4 years now. And I can't tell you a single thing she really did. As most vice presidents, we don't really...
You don't know crap about
know.
Them, yeah.
But there have been vice presidents in the past that have, done things, have been a little more active.
Yeah,
I didn't hear from her for 3 years until, they basically took it away from Biden because, in the debate, he just didn't perform well, and they kind of go, well, we got to...
Understatement of the year.
We got to fix this. He's not all there. And, they sort of installed her, which is what the vice president does when things like that happen, and that's her position. But, basically, I felt ripped off by this entire election. I think the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, the two big ones that we serve, did a poor job of selecting candidates. Harris was, the vice president, so I kind of see that. And they weren't going to run Biden after...
No, he couldn't do it.
This thing came down. And I understand a lot of people like Trump, but as the Republican Party, it's like he's got a lot of baggage.
Mm-hmm.
There's, all those felony counts, which will probably go away.
They're going to go away. He's not going to go to jail, and all his friends are going to get off the hook.
Yeah, but it's just,
We elected a felon rapist.
Yeah.
And I still can't figure out, like I asked my son-in-law.
Right.
Both of them. Vote for Trump, of course they are.
Yeah.
One's from a family that's got a lot of money and peace.
Sure.
That's just the way they were. My other one, not. But I said, you have daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Can I grab them? And somebody walks up in 20 years, somebody up and grabs them. What are you going to do? I'll kill them.
Yeah.
Remember that. Your president's admitted to doing that.
Right.
It'll be your president. But
and,
it's amazing. I don't want to. What are you say?
When the leader is, spouting that kind of rhetoric, it only opens the door for other people to advance past that moral line in the sand that they may have already drawn. Now they're like, oh, I can step over here and I'm not going to get in trouble.
Exactly. I don't watch that when I was in politics. People watch you.
Yeah, yeah.
They still watch.
And that's what's amazing. He's like broken every rule as far as like, and if he was a regular, anyone else, he would have been banned 6 years, 8 years ago. When he said that statement, he would have been gone. In fact, I remember...
If he was a football an analyst.
If he was a coach of the Raiders, he wouldn't be a coach of the Raiders anymore.
Howard Cosell, if it was anybody...
Howard Cosell made what was construed as a bad comment.
Yeah, called him a little monkey.
Oh, look at that little monkey go.
And
he was gone.
But people a politician can say what he wants, unless you're a small town politician.
Yeah.
Oh, don't, see, the, you're never going to run into, other than that stupid study poll at McDonald's, going to run into Donald Trump at a Denny's restaurant.
No.
And unless he wants to get in some TV commercial.
Right.
And you're never going to run into Kamala Harris there either.
No.
And they have Secret Service with them all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you're a councilman or a mayor, council member or a mayor,
there's the mayor shopping.
Yeah, there's the mayor shopping,
getting some drinking.
Gas. I remember one of my friends. He's never been on this show, but his name's Kim. He's a professional photographer.
Kim West does great
work. And in fact, a couple pictures of myself and my wife are my favorite all the time. All right, he took them,
uh-huh.
And they were not planned.
Uh huh.
But finally, he asked me one day, "How come you're always waving me off?" Yeah, like I'm some horrible paparazzi. I said, "You always come by HT. I got one hand of cigar, another hand of martini.
It's my place to enjoy myself.
Probably
man.
Not. If I wore the same shirt every day, it'd be okay. But I said, you're going to publish these pictures as every shot. Aspel's got a goddamn martini, is it? Which I haven't drank in about 10 years anyway. So,
right.
But you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And like our old boy Jed, he goes down to what's that place he likes, Craig's.
Oh yeah,
in Hollywood.
Yeah,
and they think well, take a picture. He likes the publicity.
Yeah,
he goes inside and he hangs out with these people. I've never been there. I asked Pam if she wants to go. She goes no. So anyway, yeah. Other things that didn't go to my well, I endorsed this measure for the Beach City's Health District for that bond.
Uh-huh.
Just because I go there almost every day. And because I don't have a life. But I think today was 290. That's my math. Next Wednesday, if I don't miss anything between now and the next Wednesday, I will have 300 days.
300.
This year.
All right.
And
that's
you
pretty
can't
good.
See. Yeah, I go there every day if I can. Anyway, so I endorsed that, and just said, put my name on it if you want. They took a picture of Pam and I.
Mm-hmm.
They even put on their website here. I said that I'm in better shape now than I have been in 100 years. Thank God my wife drags me to the gym.
Yeah.
Those are Beach Cities. But the other two passed, the new fire and police station
uh-huh.
and the school bond.
Okay.
Which is mm-hmm. going to, just those two passing, will add $500 a year to my property taxes.
Yeah.
It pisses me off. And I'll tell you why. The police will hate me for this.
Uh-huh.
When I was in politics, they didn't want a new police station or fire station.
Mm.
The rank and file.
Right.
Because the cities have X amount of dollars. They put them in different funds.
Uh-huh.
And they put the money in a fund for rainy day or to build a new fire station or a police station.
Right.
And in the case of these stations, there's no place to put them while they're being rebuilt. So they haven't figured that part out yet.
Ah.
They work out a tent somewhere. They can't do that. So,
right.
But every cop, and every firefighter, except for the chiefs,
yeah.
said, we don't care about a new fire station.
Mm-hmm.
We care about our money.
Right.
And if you spend all the money on a fire station.
There goes our raise.
There goes our raise.
Yeah.
And I said, you guys don't understand that the public is not aware of the money you guys make.
Right.
And if they were, they'd have a fit.
Oh, yeah.
You give the first responders a half off on their coffee. They're the ones that are going to afford it.
Yeah. They don't need a break.
So I go, you've been telling me this for years, and now I'm out of politics. And we have the boss is coming in. It's like mom coming in. I don't know what to say. I better shut up. Anyway, they don't want it. Well, now they want it to be. They kept using the line. If we have a new station, we can attract better quality people.
Mm.
And I'm going. You can attract the great quality people now because people don't want to work in downtown LA.
Yeah, you got a great city to work and live in.
And if you put an ad in any city in the country for a firefighter, you'll have 4,000 applicants.
Yeah.
And anyway, I wouldn't do it. I'm glad they do it. I did climb into a burning building at the academy, the fire academy in Inglewood.
Yeah,
I put the whole suit on.
Uh huh.
That was worse than the MRI. I asked the guy, "Get me out of here."
Yeah.
Oh, it's hot. Plus, I didn't want to burn. I couldn't stand it. It's real confined space. And It's good. Thank God there's no plumber's crack going on around here. Anyway, now they want it, the new buildings. But
oh, yeah.
Even if you started today, there's in the process, there's not one cop or firefighter on the force now that will still be working for the city.
By the time they
by the time you have the ribbon cutting.
Right.
But here's the inside deal with, especially, I don't know, forget federal, local politics. The city has that fund for
yeah.
new stations. Well, they just got this bond passed. So they got a new fund.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, you know, you can't commingle the funds, so the old fund is just free money.
Wow.
So the next time it comes up for contract, which is like every other year,
yeah.
they're going to use that.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't be involved in the they call them closed session, which is back, you bitch about the backroom politics, so that's
right.
where you do all your private stuff. But they will end up passing the largest salary increase in the history of the city.
Wow.
In the next couple of years.
Yep.
Because they'll have the money in the bank.
Mm.
And so I thought it was kind of a scam.
Yeah,
it really is.
So I pretty much felt that as well. And for, you know, some of the stuff that's been going on in city politics, or pretty much I voted no on anything that was like, this will cost, there will be a tax raise. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, you guys can find the money.
Yeah.
Don't squeeze it out of the citizens.
Yeah,
find the money elsewhere.
I don't know if the old guy that says, I already had my kids through school. I'm not paying for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that. Because when I was a kid, somebody else paid for me.
Yeah.
But we also put our kids mostly through private school.
Right.
Parochial school, as
mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I went through parochial school. And see how much it helped. Anyway, we paid our taxes, not willingly, but we paid them.
Yeah.
Willingly, but not happily.
Right.
And we still paid tuition.
Right.
So, I don't, if they pay tuition to a private school, they're saving the taxpayers money anyway. They should get a little break, maybe. But
yeah,
and it doesn't affect me anymore. But yeah, they these bonds are too easy to pass.
Yeah.
And then also, they will increase your rent.
Yeah,
doesn't this affect the homeowner or the landlord? It affects
right.
anybody in there. I don't know. Well, I don't know. Always I put it on the other because people keep asking me about it.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the gym and I don't talk in the gym. No one knows anything about me in the gym, maybe
that's
two or three people.
Yeah.
And it's basically, it's the old person's gym. Pam and I are still one of the younger people.
That's what you said.
Yeah. I tell them, you join this gym, you don't have to have big old guns. It's not a show off gym.
Yeah.
And you better like the carpenters.
Uh huh.
And, anybody named Cindy, or never gonna break your heart. What's that guy? You know, Rick, not Rick.
Rick Springfield. Nelson.
Rick. Yeah, anybody named Rick has probably got weird. Yeah, Rick, the guy from England, the tall, skinny guy, did one song.
Oh, Rick Springfield.
Yeah,
Rick Springfield.
No, he's from here. Not a rock
he's
and roller.
He's from Australia, Rick Springfield.
Yeah, okay, he's not a rock and roller. Anyway, I'll think about it. Rick. Never gonna break your heart. I'm not gonna sing. It'd be bad. So I'm like karaoke. Yeah, anyway, yeah, my gym is for old people.
Okay.
And it's quite fun. And that's not fun like we're having a good time.
Right, right.
I tell them you're going to listen to AC/DC at 24-Hour Fitness, you're going to listen to Carpenters here, and I'm going to drive myself crazy trying to figure out who that Rick guy is. Anyway, so back to the
website. Not Rick Astley.
That's it.
We're never going to break your
That's
mind.
It. See, okay. I tried to do it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, never going to do something.
It took my mind a minute to find it.
Rick Astley.
Yeah.
Rick He's on Astley. Every 45 minutes.
Yeah.
They have a loop. That's why I say the Carpenters.
That's hilarious.
Now I'm figuring this out. Rick?
Now, Rick Astley was one of the first internet pranks.
Really?
Yeah. They called it getting Rick rolled. And this happened to me a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Someone would send you a video, and it'd be like, you know, oftentimes like, you know, greatest play in NFL history. Or one time, I was on YouTube, John Paul Jones' best bass solo. I'm like, oh, I want to check this out. I click on it, and that song came up.
Mm-hmm.
Never gonna break your heart. So it was a thing called getting Rickrolled. Someone would put up another description of the video, send it to you, and it was Rick Astley. It's just a harmless prank.
That's okay. It didn't cost you any money.
No, and there was no malicious malware involved. It was just something called Getting Rickrolled.
That's
and, you know, he's kind of a, it's kind of a cool song. It's kind of goofy, but.
He's on, I've seen him, go to YouTube. He's a guest singer for one song of every group you've ever heard.
Foo Fighters even had him come out and perform that song with him.
Okay, that's what I saw it recently.
I'm sure,
okay,
yeah. Because, you know, they've done that, and they've done that to, they've played that at, you know, different places. Like Rickrolled people.
You guys made more money on one song. That's a one-hit wonder.
It is.
You know, I'll take that any effing day of the year.
Well, yeah.
That just dawned on me, though. I wasn't kidding. Go back to your Rolodex in your brain.
Yeah.
For young people, you know what a Rolodex is, have no idea. How many guys are named Rick? And how many female singers are named Cindy?
Cindy Lauper.
Cindy is, I see, you said that name. That's, I didn't think about her. Just Cindy something. I just thought of three or four. Whatever. There's all this. Cindy with the Go-Go's.
Oh. Well, there's
that's Belinda.
Belinda.
Never mind.
Carlisle, yeah.
Well, they're all smarter than me anyway. But that you hear Belinda Carlisle a lot.
Uh-huh.
But, oh, yeah, you hear Neil Diamond. You hear, you hear all the mellow.
It's getting me Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, every
sundown,
day.
You better take
I'm not going to sing it again, but
if you
ever listen, well, you can sing. You have a good voice. Could you ever really listen to the lyrics of that song?
Yeah.
Didn't feel better when I feel, whatever. I can't think of it. That guy was stoned.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I loved it. He's great.
I was way into him as a kid. Like, I thought that song, Sundown, was the coolest song I had ever heard when it first came out. I bought that 45.
Really?
Literally taught myself that song on guitar. Even the solo, because it wasn't that hard. You know, you can actually sound it out, you know.
Yeah, listen to that. Speaking of songs, my stepson, Patrick Bubba, in Utah,
uh-huh.
He's a half-ass musician.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding, Patrick. He plays guitar, he sings, he played in little bands before.
Uh-huh.
But he played in those screaming bands, punk bands, like down in Hermosa.
Okay.
But now he's an elderly, 40-some-year-old adult with a kid.
Right.
But he's... And he sang a song,
mm-hmm.
and drinking whiskey in the rain.
Okay.
And it's about my life's all messed up. I'm trying to figure it out, and blah blah blah. It's really good.
Nice.
And I'm not just saying because he's my stepson. It's guitar,
uh-huh.
Whatever he plays. What do you call it? Rhythm, wooden guitar.
Acoustic
guitar. Yeah. And I'm, and then he's singing the lyrics, and he's very good. So I sent he did a video, selfie.
Yeah.
He put it on his Facebook page, actually. So I sent it to Jed.
Yeah.
He goes, that's a good song. I said, it sounds like Matthew from Pet Project. I said, this could be
cool.
A Pet Project song. He goes, I think you're right. So he's going to run it by the band. I said, Bubba, it's not going to make you $1 billion, but it'd be kind of an honor.
Yeah.
And I said, but here's the deal. If they play your song and you ever come out here, you're not going to sing it.
Right.
On the stage with him. I'll probably forbid it. But anyway, they're going to check it out. So I was pretty happy about that. And they're going to be on. What? Yeah, just 10 years ago, I had no idea. Everybody thinks that I'm Steve the SOB, and that song was written before you met those
guys.
It
was.
And but it has morphed, so now he looks at me.
Well, the other Steve has moved away like an SOB to another state and town and things.
Yeah, he's the guy that grabbed him by the crotch guy. Yeah,
he's into that guy, yeah.
Speaking of that, I brought a can in. It's not even liquor. It's beach plum flavor. And I think my wife bought this at Trader Joe's. And it's LaCroix.
Yeah.
LaCroix.
Right.
If you are Republican, we're going to call it LaCrotch. It's just, if anybody listening, go look at LaCroix. That's a proper pronunciation, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And LaCrotch for a...
So,
middle, yeah.
I've been on a, well, last year or so, I've been on a secret comedy mission, just going on YouTube and finding comedians. You know, just type in, you know, stand-up comedy. And, you know, I listen to them, like, a lot of times if I can't sleep, you know, put on something funny and fall asleep to that. So I fall asleep to the voices talking, you know. Anyway, there was a comedian who was talking about, and there was this one site that I went on. It was like this comedy club in Chicago that right after the pandemic, all these comedians were performing, and, you know, a lot of their material had to do with the lockdown, and it was like, hey, how was that lockdown?
Yeah, right.
I got laughs because everyone's like, okay, that really sucked. But one guy was like, yeah, you know, so I, the other day, I could have sworn I had COVID. I was talking to my friend, going, I think I have COVID. And he goes, why is that? He goes, well, I've lost, I can't taste anything. He goes, you're just drinking a La Croix.
Yeah, what it is? La Croix.
You know, so that was his, you know, his punchline is like, oh, you're just having a La Croix. Those things don't have any taste.
Because it doesn't. It says beach plum.
Yeah. He, like, says it has a taste or a flavor, but I don't really.
My daughter brought in, it's called the Devastation. I know, it's a big green can.
Uh-huh.
It's not alcoholic. It's lime. It tastes like a kamikaze without the vodka. And it's
Wow.
Just, that's how strong the lime is. Rose's lime juice.
Wow.
And she goes, I don't like it. She was Sunday that in the afternoon at her house for dinner.
Uh-huh.
And I said, let me try it. I said, pretty good. So I put it in the refrigerator. And I went back to get some more, and Pam stole it. So I got to call my daughter on the way home. I'm going to stop at the store and buy this. It's a green can.
Mm-hmm.
If you're driving while you're drinking it, you get pulled over. It looks like a can of beer.
Okay.
But it's not. So, which is, you know, been on the wagon a little bit again, and just trying to check those LBs, and then make sure I can.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It's boring sometimes. But I'm going, someone said, why don't you just drink some non-alcoholic beer?
Because it tastes like beer, and it's going to smell like beer when you get pulled over.
Exactly.
And the cop's going to be like, shit, non-alcoholic my ass.
And you're going to try and get me to do the drunk test again. It'll flunk it 10 years or 15 years ago, flunk it again sober.
Yeah.
So it's just...
No, once you decide to quit something, using a substitute that tastes like it is not the best idea, in my opinion.
No.
Like, I'm 6 months almost. This Saturday would be like, no, 5 months. I kind of gave up drinking.
Yeah. You still having fun?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah, so
feeling
good.
Pretty happy. You know, and the health's better, which is kind of why I did it.
Oh, yeah, I know. So,
you know, so it's a good decision. Maybe it was just time.
Yeah, I took a break because Sunday before I did, we went over to the village.
Yeah.
And feed the kid who's playing. Well, somebody started buying me Irish coffees.
Okay.
I have the waitress, not the waitress, my bartenders,
uh-huh,
know how I like my drink.
Right.
And I like it weak.
Yeah.
I said, make one for the, it's a profit, more profitable for you guys. Make it a half a shot.
Yeah.
And that way I can go all day. And mm-hmm, I just sip it. And I really don't like getting buzzed anymore. It's just
right,
fun and all that. And, you know, it does relax you, everything like that, but I don't want to fall down.
Right.
So give me an Irish coffee, and it came out hot. They were really good, so being the person that has no willpower, I had like three of them.
Sure.
So Pam drove anyway. It was fine. So next morning, we get up 6:30, go to the gym. And I feel like shit.
Wow.
And then the hangover, I felt great. I just felt so sluggish and bad.
Yeah.
So that's why I make my own drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's just a story. That's why I said, I'm going to take a few days off. It's been over a week. But it was, my son-in-law comes to our house and wants to make me a drink. I said, nope.
Yeah.
So I'll make you a drink. I'll pour you the way you like it. But yeah, I control my own environment that way.
Yeah.
I'm not that anal about it, but it's kind of weird. La Croix. Look at this can.
La Croix. I think it's a French.
La Croix. Not LaCroix. La Croix.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a French.
Well, I knew a girl in school named Norma LaCroix.
Now she'd be Norma LaCroix. Okay. That's the way it's going to be because Donald Trump did.
That's probably what they would call her in school now. I mean, kids are the worst. I mean, when you got a name that could be a joke or a synonym of anything that's, you know, a put down, you're going to get called that thing.
Oh, I got called an asshole a lot.
Right.
Not just because of politics, because they made fun of my name.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one guy at Farmers walked into a meeting, and he used to be like a superior, and then he took a different job, and he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked in, hey, asshole, Steve, asshole, how you doing? Good to see you. And my buddy, Don Lee, looks at him and goes, oh, you shouldn't have said that. There's a pecking order. There's a line of demarcation.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be on the right side of the line to make fun of something.
That's a heavy word, demarcation.
Wow.
I think the DMZ in Korea even uses that to say this is the line of demarcation.
These are the line of demarcation.
The two countries.
Do not cross that line. And anyway, the guy was a little he's a friend of mine again now, but now he's like 90.
Uh-huh.
And I stood up, and I didn't, he's a little guy,
mm-hmm,
didn't go, and I just yelled out in front of like 20 people.
Yeah.
you washed up piece of shit. I call him washed up. I said, if you ever call me that name again, I'm going to put your head in the toilet. And I'm going to rub it around. Then we got really graphic.
Yeah, it's one thing when you were in school to be called that, but when you're a straight-up adult and there's a line of demarcation involved, you were in the right.
I wore a suit and tie. Okay. He got the message.
Yeah.
Finally snapped. But, yeah, people... So my daughters changed their name so fast. Wild. I'm glad we didn't have any sons, actually. But let's see. Football. What happened to football? Well, Rams got spanked last night.
Rams did not show up. I kind of thought they're, you know, they've been on a roll, but Miami was kind of looked a little more hungry last night.
I had a, here's the deal. I'm glad Tampa lost at the end of the game to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
I had a three-team parlay.
Uh-huh.
I had
the Niners run a lot of parlays this week.
I had Denver over the Chiefs.
I had that.
I had the Patriots
over the Bears.
Over
I
the
had
Bears.
That.
I had four teams. I had one other team. I forgot what it was. And I had Tampa Bay.
Oh.
Well, I was screaming when that Tampa Bay game was still going on, and they were I think they were tied or just tied it up.
Yeah.
The other two teams had already won.
Yeah.
Well, I bet $10 on this computer on the
right.
site. Paid $1,295.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. If I only had three teams, it'd be $450 or something. It was $1,295. So anyway, I am sitting there, and they blocked that field goal. I mean, you all know what the fix is in. Kansas City blocked that last second field goal for the Broncos.
That was crazy.
And I said, if I lose that bet because of that play, I'm just going to, I don't know.
But
stop.
Did you have the points?
Broncos no, it's just a money line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's plus like plus 300, plus you know, minus 300.
That's why the odds are a little
You know, I played this, when I played the poker, played poker at my house.
Yeah.
Before all this Texas Hold'em became fashionable.
Uh-huh.
If the game didn't have a wild card in it, or didn't put the card face out on your forehead,
uh-huh.
or whatever, I wouldn't play it.
Uh-huh.
Or I'd play high-low split because even a bad hand wins.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't play poker ever again. Remind me of the old lady. But that's why I take the parlays because I'm not really thinking. You're just looking at the best odds. If I win, I get lucky. I mean, I get a lot of money. If I don't win, I lost $10.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so pissed off when they blocked that kick. I was thank God I'm not a violent better because I want to throw something to the TV. And I thought the fix is in. They let that guy right to their left tackle and flopped on his ass. And
right.
Anyway, it was then San Francisco beat Tampa at the end, so I can't blame it on one play.
Yeah.
But both of my losses were over field goals.
That's crazy.
So it's not, but it is football.
It is
football. But, poker thing, I went to, when I was barely 21 or 22, I went to the Normandy Casino or one of those casinos in Gardena.
Yeah.
With some buddies, and talk about alcohol poisoning, but
right
there, with like $200.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost it playing poker, just draw poker, not hold'em, in like an hour and a half,
uh-huh.
or sooner. I don't remember. So I'm pissed off. This is not my game. So I leave, and we all go to leave. And this lady, old lady at my table, she followed me out.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God, she's probably my age. She probably wasn't even 70, but she was an old lady because I was in my early 20s.
Right.
She comes out, she goes, like, kid, come here, give me some advice. Don't come back. She goes, you play blackjack, don't you?
Uh-huh.
I go, yeah. She goes, well, you play like a blackjack player. I can tell the difference. I go, I didn't think about it.
Betting on every hand.
Yeah, she said, your eyes give it away. You don't fold. You don't do this. You're waiting for that ace. You're waiting for something. She said, I'm surprised your money lasted as long as it did. So don't ever come back because you are so bad, you cannot remedy this. No. And she said she was there every day.
Wow.
And she's a nice lady.
Yeah. If she's there every day, she's kind of a semi-pro.
Yeah, I took her word for it. I said, I never went back. I never played poker. I played in my house as long as it was wild cards.
Okay.
You know, but...
my dad hated wild cards.
Most real poker players don't want it.
He hated wild cards. But, we would have poker nights all the time with various friends of his from work. My uncle, his friend Tom, that, you know, hired him for his first job. And, They'd have me, you know, my dad taught me how to gamble. I mean, I learned how to gamble on football before I really learned the rules of football.
That's funny.
I mean, he showed me, like, he used to get these parlay cards from the, you know, the lunch truck, the roach coach.
The boys, yeah.
And he just showed one to me one time, and I go, oh, if I take that team, that means I get, you know, these points. And he goes, yeah. Or if you take that team, you know, you keep, you know, that's what's called the point spread. And I'm like, okay, got it. And he goes, I go, I want to try one. And he goes, you got $5? That's it.
Yeah.
I go, well, when I get my allowance, I'll have $5. So I put my next allowance in
nice.
The parlay card, and I won.
You won. How much you win?
It's like $35.
There you go.
For a 10-year-old kid, that was pretty good.
Really good. Yes,
you know, I ended up buying like a tape recorder, and like I was kind of rich for a while. And, of course, I would lose the next three parlays I did. But back then, it was easier because you knew every year, these are the Cowboys. They got Roger Staubach. They got, you know, Drew Pearson. These are the Steelers. They got Terry Bradshaw, Mean Joe Green. You know, it was the
right.
same teams, and there wasn't free agency. And, like, you would know, oh, they drafted that rookie. I remember watching him in college. He's going to be good sometime. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I wish I was older. I would have been a Jimmy the Greek probably kind of guy.
Yeah, if I would have started earlier like that, I would have loved to live in Vegas and be a professional gambler. But
yeah,
my uncle was a pit boss there forever, and he took me out gambling. I probably talked about this before, early on a Sunday morning, and there were $2 tables.
This okay,
I was 20s, early 20.
Yeah,
and took me the Golden Nugget, and he was a pit boss somewhere down the street. Sahara.
Okay,
and he said, "Okay, put $2 out in the circle," and I already played, so I knew the rules. But he said, and then he goes, ask for a cocktail,
uh-huh.
And they had the clickers, and the guys and the girls they're always girls,
right?
No dudes,
right?
No woke shit back then,
no,
and they,
especially in Vegas.
And they came up, and I asked for a Jack Daniels and club soda.
Cool.
And it came back, and my uncle laughed. He says, "Watch that drink. It looked like a vodka. It was so clear."
Yeah.
And then he said, put $5 out.
Uh-huh.
And again, this was 50 years ago.
Right.
And I don't really feel old. It was 50 years ago. Anyway, we put the $5 out, and I put more. He put his money behind my stack.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, "Now order the same drink I did." It came back brown as brown. He goes, "There you are, like Sonny. Their job is to get you effed up."
Yep.
You know, there's no clocks, there's no nothing, but they want you to drink.
They do,
and it's just amazing how, you know, they treated you back then with a $2. I could go to Vegas for 2 weeks for $100.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays, the only machines I really like, I won a couple thousand last year. I won the deuces are wild.
Okay.
I like the wild card. See, I'm opposite your dad. And I've only made one bet in Vegas when it took the spread.
Uh-huh.
And it was 20-some years ago, and it was when I took the team playing the Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
And all I know is I made $150.
Nice.
So what the trouble is now, I look at when you do the spread, it says you're going to pay $125 to win $100.
Uh-huh.
I don't like that. I'm going to pay $10 to win $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do a parlay because
I had
fun.
A couple parlays going this week, and I won one of three. I had a teaser, and I had Denver, who was 7-point underdog, but the teaser, you had another six. And I was like, yeah, there's no way Kansas City is going to beat them by 13. I felt Kansas City would have a struggle. And the Patriots, I was like, I think they might win. I don't think the Bears. So that was like a 12-point thing. Buffalo was like, they went down to two. And Minnesota was one, 49ers were a point and a half, and the Eagles down to a point and a half. So those I won, but I also did a parlay on first half spreads, and the dang Vikings. Oh, no. Detroit is the one that... they end up... I took them on the first half. It was only a point and a half against Houston. Houston kicked their butt in the first half, and I started reading the book, fell asleep. The next thing I know... You know, I turn on the radio and it's like, oh, Jared Goff, 5 interceptions with a miraculous comeback. And I'm like, I didn't even care. As I go, they already lost me the first half. I don't care that they won, you know?
It's trouble gambling.
But, yeah, but that would have been like a, that would have been like $100-some-odd on that one. It was like a five-team first half. You know, Chargers won. Everyone else did. It was like 4 out of 5.
You're a hardcore gambler. I'm a mild gambler here.
I don't bet that much, though. Couple of weeks, I've been looking at some of them, and I'm like, I used to, like, do the teasers, because you think, there's no way I can lose. You get to pick a team and add 6 or take away 6. You know, like if a team's favored by 7,
yeah,
I'll move that down to 1.5. You know, that's Philadelphia against Dallas. I'm like, they're going to win by 1.5, you know.
At least.
And then, like, with Denver, I'm like, Denver beat Kansas City last year. They're a divisional opponent. They might keep it close. Kansas City played on Monday night, and there's a well-tested theory about teams that win on Monday night don't cover the spread the following Sunday. That's because they win the game, they have an emotional high, they're up late Monday, yeah, we won, and it's a short week, again, to Tuesday, and, you know, they're a little, and then they traveled, you know, or right, they were at home, but, I mean, just a little bit of, you know, so who played last night? Miami, they'll play the Raiders this week. The Raiders stink really bad, so Miami will probably win that game. But
where are they playing? In Miami. Okay.
You know, so there's a, I believe. But anyway, about 2 out of 3 times, the team that wins Monday night will have a trouble covering the spread the following Sunday.
Well, I don't gamble too much. I'm not that analytical.
You know, but
I go by my heart. Can't bet with your heart.
That's it.
So
that's why I don't bet on the Raiders anymore. I just, like, you know, just nope, no more.
Like Pam said, you're going to bet in the Dodgers? I said, no, I don't really bet that much. The interesting thing right now, they gave you $1,000 credit in this one little outfit I'm with.
Yeah.
And if I wanted more, I could have got it. I said, no. I don't want to be drinking some night or hit the button. Anyway, I was up like $600.
Mm-hmm.
Because a couple of parlays earlier.
Yeah.
Now I was down to like $350. But she, or I don't know, I'm about 150 lower than what I was topped out at.
Yeah.
But she calls me every time, you want to meet me over there in the village? So, give you your money. So, no, you'll probably not have to give me any money, but I don't want to give you any.
Yeah.
So, like, 7 weeks to go. Oh, you got plenty of money in there. I could play $10 a week at a parlay or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I used to go to Vegas way too much, especially with my buddy Mike. In fact, he went back there last week. Asked me to go with him.
I kind of want to go there for Wild Card Weekend.
That'd be fun.
Like,
oh, yeah.
A bunch of games, you know.
Yeah, 6 games every day, or 3 games every day.
Yeah, it's like... And then there's one on Monday night.
Right. It'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Go downtown where all the losers are. Like me. That's where I hang out.
Like downtown. You know, the Glitter Gulch from those old schools.
That's where I go. But the last time Pam and I walked through there, we thought we might not come back.
Yeah.
It was...
A little too much gulch.
It got real seedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just like it dingy, but not seedy.
Right. There's a final demarcation of...
a couple lines of demarcation down there. There's a Triple George. It's a moderately... it's still expensive. A moderately too expensive price restaurant patterned after a San Francisco kind of establishment.
Okay.
And it's really good.
Uh-huh.
And I was recommended to go there by a few friends. But there's every one of those old hotels have a great restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the rules, you know, like the Rat Pack kind of rules. They're usually down in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they on the street level. Oh no, it sucks. But I tell you what, I was there earlier this year, the Encore.
Yeah.
Which we stayed in this big suite that Jed had. We were there all the time. Those suites, not the little suite you pay $20 extra for. The suite that probably costs $20,000 a night.
That's his friend that gets comped.
Yeah, he does gamble.
He's gambling.
Anyway, they have a pretty much a full bar.
Wow.
Without any magic little pads at the bottom where it charges you.
Nice.
They want you to, they're giving you a free room like that. They want you to walk down that.
They want you bombed as the all varieties.
They want you in the elevator heading down below.
They don't want you being sober very long.
They don't want you doing anything. But the interesting thing is none of those guys drink.
I know.
None of Jed's friends or them drink. So
that's crazy.
All right. It's time to go. I have to get out of here anyway.
Too.
Yeah, I got a life here. Everybody, I hope to talk to you next week.
All right.
But in the end, there's just no place like home.